hour number two of Michelle and Junie. You can listen to us every single day streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Download their app and use the promo code THEGAME today for special deals and offerings that they do all the time. Superbook Sports, one of the best sports gambling sites out on the market. Check them out. So we teased it before the break. This hour is going to be primary Titans, and we want you guys to weigh in because this is the part of the offseason that, you know, there's a lot of rankings, a lot of lists, a lot of speculation, a lot of unknowns because we're only, you know, in OTAs, you know, a lot of voluntary stuff, not into mini camp yet, not where people are mandatory. So, you know, all these rumors and speculations about, you know, Kevin Byard and all these storylines are not going to get talked about in a few weeks. But one storyline that will be talked about for as long as he is a free agent is going to be DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins went on the I Am Athlete podcast a little over a week ago and gave a list of teams that he wanted to play for. And here's DeAndre Hopkins right now.
The dog, man, the people. Not a lot of people respect this guy, but, you know, as a throwing quarterback, Lamar Jackson, obviously. And number five, man, I'm going to have to go with my dude in San Diego. Well, the Chargers.
Herbert.
Justin Herbert.
That was DeAndre Hopkins talking about Justin Herbert being one, but he did give a list of numerous teams, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Eagles, the Bills, you know, all the big-time quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson as well with the Ravens. So those were really his top five of places that he wanted to be. And the Tennessee Titans are obviously not going to be on the front of that list. But the thing about what DeAndre Hopkins has come out and said, Nick, is that he wants to get paid. Like
he wants
a pretty solid deal. Like he's not just going to go to a contender for cheap. And that's what makes me believe that the Titans might actually be in play because they have a little bit of cap space, not enough to sign D-Hop right now, but a few restructures of some of these deals. I think about the Harold Landry deal. You could probably already maybe jump into the Jeff Simmons deal. Maybe Kevin Byard, if you actually give him an extension with some guaranteed money, maybe he would be willing to do that to bring in some talent for the wide receiving core. So, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, you know, looking to get paid on the open market. Arizona's already having to pay him $22 million. That's the money that they're going to owe him since they cut him last Friday. So it's going to be really interesting to see where this guy's go because I feel like even though he is at the age of 30, he still has the talent level and enough tread on the tires to make a huge immediate impact for a needy team at the wide receiver position.
Oh, yeah, no question. And, look, I've already looked at a few different sites for odds just because that's a topic that you've got to start to get into now. Okay, where is he going and what are the odds that he's going? And I did not see the Titans listed or even being very high on the list. So, now, you and I could have both said, doesn't sound as likely that he would probably be in Tennessee with the Titans. I think you have to pick up the phone. I saw your tweet as soon as the news came out. You're like, you got to pick up the phone, call this man, see what it is. Because if you don't, you'll regret it. And I think for the Two-Tone Blue, they have their priorities in there for weapons. But will D-Hop fit into what they're thinking? And yes, you want to have a guy that's a Pro Bowler. You want to have Derek Mason thinks he's the best wide receiver in the NFL by a long stretch. I think he's a good wide receiver. Now, part of me also thinks I don't want to have anything eerily similar close to what we experienced with Julio Jones, Junie. So I would like to see what we see.
I think it's different.
I think it is different too, but I'm just saying you don't want anything to happen like that. You obviously want to stay healthy. Like, that's obviously the biggest caveat to anything is, okay, can he stay healthy? Can he, you know, produce at the same rate that he has previously? Now, like, he's going to be a talented guy, but You look at some other teams, it's more appealing for him, I think.
I think he was more or less frustrated with the situation in Arizona. You know, he got dealt there after the 2019 season.
Yep.
And in 2020, you know, the Arizona Cardinals immediately had some success. They made the playoffs for the first time with Kyler Murray. And after that, I felt like, you know, he saw the writing on the wall with Kyler in the whole narrative about the contract situation and how they implemented, you know, study hours per week so that Kyler Murray would actually go in and look at the playbook. And ever since then, you know, the narrative about Kyler and his work ethic and how seriously he takes the game has been put into question. But when I look at a guy like D-Hop, and you mentioned the whole Julio Jones thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, D-Hop outside of the past two seasons has not dealt with much injury. And even last season, you know, he missed six games because of his suspension.
Right.
And Arizona has, you know, kind of been leaking out some information that he sat out the final two games of the season with a quote-unquote injury that they did not feel was serious enough for him to, you know, sit out the games. You know, Kyler going down for the season with his injury, that maybe D-Hop just kind of subtly quit on the team and just didn't want to play because, you know, obviously they're not playing for anything.
No,
you know,
they're right.
Third pick in the draft. They ended up with an awful record. But, I mean, outside of the 2021 season where, you know, he started 10 games out of the 17, you're talking about a guy that's played just about every game. I think he's only missed two games.
He hasn't missed
in his career
many.
Outside of that. So he's been a lot healthier than Julio. Julio was 32 when mm-hmm. he came to the Titans. There's a big difference, in my opinion, between 30 and 32. 32, 33 is right around the area where receivers really start to drop off.
Sure.
And with Julio's injuries that he was having, those are ailing injuries, the hamstrings. And for a guy that age, it's hard for them to recover and bounce back, especially as a wide receiver. So I do believe that DeAndre Hopkins has two or three more years of being an elite receiver in this game. Now, to Derek's point,
mm-hmm.
is he the best receiver in the league? 2 years ago, I would have said yes.
Yes.
But now, no, he's not.
Now, he's capable. Like, I would still say, now, Junie, for you, would he be a fringe elite or would he just straight up still be elite?
I think he's still elite.
Okay.
And
I think that's fair.
And we see this a lot with guys that are getting up in age and their stats start to decrease a little bit, that sometimes when the NFL as a whole on the open market says, you know, we don't really value you as high as you mm-hmm. think you are.
Right.
When those guys sign and they still have gas left in the tank, tread on the tires, they typically come out and they perform at a high level just to try and prove the league wrong. So I could see that being the case for DeAndre Hopkins. But what's really interesting is that, you know, Sam Phelan, he wrote an article for A to Z Sports that I was looking into, you know, the possibility of DeAndre Hopkins and his connection with the Tennessee Titans. And he quoted Jim Wyatt from a few years ago when Jim sat with DeAndre about this, and it was talking about the interaction that he had with Mike Vrabel while Vrabel was the linebackers coach from 2014 to 17, which, you know, overlapped with his time in Houston. He says, I had a lot of interaction with him, Hopkins told Jim Wyatt of TennesseeTitans.com back in 2018. He's one of those guys you could talk to off the field, not just about football, but personal stuff. Vrabel was good to me. It wasn't just a football relationship with him. It was a personal relationship. Guys can relate to him. He's a great guy. He's not just a good coach, but he's a good guy, and he can relate to his players. The Titans are lucky to have him. And that's what Hopkins said back in 2018, you know, in the midst of, you know, Vrabel getting hired as the Tennessee Titans head coach. So it really kind of shows you that these two guys have a relationship. The Titans, I feel, with the cap space they have a little bit over $6 million in cap, and compared to some of the teams that Hopkins is looking to go to, that's a lot more, and with the restructures they could do, I feel like they have the ability to open up some more money than maybe the Bills or the Chiefs or teams like that that he's mentioned about potentially wanting to go to. So I think what to keep in mind is that, you know, Hopkins would be the number one target this year. You know, Treylon Burks still unproven, still needs to take that elevation. And what better way to help him elevate than to take some of the pressure off of him and bring in an elite veteran like a DeAndre Hopkins? So I had a buddy of mine text me, and he says, I genuinely think the Titans are a sleeper to sign him.
Yeah.
And to be on the watch, because a lot of times when these big free agents hit the open market, you know, they wind up signing with a team that nobody really expects. Mm-hmm. And with the need at wide receiver and as badly as the Titans need it, I could see desperation sitting in to try and make something of this season and going out and getting
I think so, too. And the Titans have $36 million in dead cap. They've also got $11 million in total cap space. Now, we all have heard the theory in town about how the cap is fake. But at the same point in time, you're making a really good argument, Junie, for restructure some of these deals on the team. And look, this could be a huge factor when you think about a guy like Kevin Byard, because if you want to bring in another weapon, you have to consider, okay, who can I maybe cut a little bit in terms of what he's making, maybe some other guys too, because you want to, you know, finesse how much some of these guys are making. And once you have finagled your way around and you're trying to figure out, okay, I can bring in this one guy that's going to make us a big deal, would you be okay with that? And then you get some of these players on board, and then you bring him in, and it's like, okay, let's get going. So I'm very interested to see what the Titans even do still with the free agents, Junie. Now, their average age, I find this a little interesting. Now, I'm on spot track right now. I find it a little intriguing that the average age of the Tennessee Titans is 26. So, and I know a lot of teams float around this 26 from what I can tell, and a lot of good teams float around this age too. So the youth of the NFL, I think, is good. But the other question, the reason I'm going to this, is can some of the younger guys on the Titans with the bang for the buck that they have truly step up this year? Because that would really help them, especially with the schedule and the strength of schedule that they have. So a lot of question marks, and I think it's going to make this season one of the most highly anticipated ones in a while, just because of the turnover. We have a new GM. There are some different players. We drafted Will Levis. You know, what's Treylon Burks going to look like? What's the running back room going to be like this year? So this could be a pretty good season for the Titans. Could also go down like the whole entire Titanic did back a long time ago. So we got to see what the Titans do.
I like the point you just made, and that's going to kind of carry us into our next segment, 615-737-1025. That is our phone and text line. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We're going to get into what are the real expectations for the Titans. It varies. The local market, the national media, and how they view the Tennessee Titans going into this season. But what is the realistic expectation? Text us your answer at 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We get into that next. You are listening to the Michelle and Junie Show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls on Wednesday, June 7th at the Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Want to support Souls for Souls but can't play golf with us? Check out our silent auction items. Just go to thegamenashville.com/golf for more information. Going to be a great day on the golf course for the second year of that. I know I had a lot of fun. Michelle always brings up how Joe Rexroad and I stole her golf cart and left her stranded. And Joe and I just took a joyride, just, you know, making fun of everybody, getting some social media clips, and basically ruining Robbie Stanley's tee off, because, you know, Joe Rexroad just makes Robbie nervous.
So do we need to get some air horns for this event?
I wouldn't say that. That, you know, that's going to, you know, people pay good money to come see this. There's actually going to be, you know, some really, really good guests this year. I know last year, we had Jelly Roll and Yellow Wolf. Those were kind of the big guys that come. But I would say this: if you're a Titans or Preds fan, I'm not going to come out and say who I've heard and the rumblings and you know, people talking shop about what's going down. But
I've heard some too.
You're gonna want to come.
I'm pretty excited for who we've got in store.
I am very excited for who's gonna come. So again, check that out on thegamenashville.com/golf. For more information. But we have another giveaway to do this hour, and we are going to be giving away a pair of tickets to see Tears for Fears at First Bank Amphitheater on July 11th. So Tears for Fears at First Bank Amphitheater. If you haven't been out there, it is an awesome venue to go catch. But we are doing some more Titans trivia, and the trivia question for this particular contest is – the Oilers and Titans franchise.
Okay.
They have won some titles.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Yes.
When? What year was their first title won? You got to call. 615-737-1025. If you want to go see Tears for Fears at First Bank Amphitheater on July 11th this summer, give us a call at 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and let us know when the Titans/Oiler won their first championship. What year was it? The first person that gives
conference championship,
Nick Frazier, the answer.
Yep,
will win a pair of tickets.
Please
to
call
the show.
So, do not text. You can text the answer, but you're not going to win.
Give us a call. So either way, we were talking about realistic expectations for the Tennessee Titans this year. Whenever I look into the national media, I'm constantly seeing the Titans, you know, projected to be picking in the top 10 of the draft, that they're going to have a, you know, 3-4-5-win season.
Mm-hmm.
And then I turn the radio on here in town. And I listen to a lot of different people around here. I read a lot of different outlets of what the local media thinks. And the local media is saying, you know, the Titans are going to win 11, 10, you know, at worst 9 games.
Mm.
And so my point in this discussion is, what is a realistic expectation for this team? And for me, we went through the schedule, and I did this with Michelle. I didn't get to do this with you.
Okay.
But I have them going 8-9.
I think that's pretty realistic.
But I wanted to hear you and what you think this team is going to do this year. Do you see them as like a team as playoff team? Because you've been on record. You've been on record saying that you think Tannehill's better than Trevor Lawrence.
Yes,
and
I have.
And if Tannehill's better than Trevor Lawrence, then Nick Kieser, I better hear something about them possibly being in the playoffs or bust.
Yes. Well, look, I will defend it for sure. I do think this way. Now, I could see them being a 9-8 team, possibly. I think that's in the realm of possibilities for them. Now, in terms of what I think they could be this season, if you hit your stride, if you are getting comfortable with your new scheme with Tim Kelly, because we know that this defense is going to be quite okay. I'm not really that worried about it. Now, we've had the injury bug here in town, living here rent-free for the last 2 years. So I'd like to see the offense start to click. So if they do start to click, Junie, I could see them being 9-8, maybe at the worst. So, I mean, I could see them winning. If they can win 11 games, I think they have solidified themselves as a pretty decent contender. Now, given we have to feel better about this the closer we get to the season, so I know our predictions, once we start getting closer to that preseason, or if we're going to make more predictions before the preseason ends, then I would feel pretty confident between that 11-9 game winning part of the column for them. I would feel a lot more confident in it, at least. So I think that's where I sit right now, without us, you know, going through each and every week right now, because for the sake of time, I don't want to dissect every game yet. But I think more or less, that's going to be their sweet spot, I think, Junie.
I see this team as a 7-8 or 9 win team. I think that is a realistic expectation. And I think when you look at how stacked the AFC is with the quarterbacks and some of these rosters, I mean, I look at the Jets, the Bills, You know, I think Jacksonville is going to be, you know, a lot better. I know they play a first-place schedule this year, but this is not the same old Jags.
No, it's not.
You know, Doug Peterson is a Super Bowl-winning head coach. He made Carson Wentz look like an MVP, and again, and granted, it was before injury, but, you know, Trevor Lawrence now has an adult at the helm, and Trevor Lawrence is, you know,
an adult at the helm, yes.
Yeah, well, yeah, we, you know, Urban Meyer wasn't really acting like an adult, especially at college bars. So,
yes.
But with that being said, you know, I just think that Doug, you know, Doug Peterson is going to bring out the best in Trevor Lawrence. And we've already talked about Trevor Lawrence's potential and what he was as a prospect. And I think having a head coach like that is going to bring the best out of him. You talk about the Bengals. You talk about the Ravens. I mean, there's just a lot. The Chargers. These teams are just so stacked in the AFC that if the Titans win 9 games this year, even with the schedule that they have, I think that is a success.
I think so too, and I think the expectation maybe is coming from your expectation is coming from what they did this year and what they look like. So now, and it's warranted. I think I would agree with you that is a very real. I think that is their expectation probably. I think if you are a player and you're sitting there thinking internally, okay, what are we going to be this year? And obviously it is what you make of it because you would be a player in that one situation that I'm trying to throw out here. But when you think about, okay, if we can hit on the right cylinders, if we can come after these teams, smash mouth football, if Derrick Henry is Derrick Henry, if Treylon Burks is a more mature wide receiver, and look, he's added some size. We've seen it firsthand what he looks like. And you can also look at the line. And I think that that's where a lot of games are going to come down to, Junie, is not only that, but the discipline of the line, too. They had a lot of problems with that last year. And if Peter Skoronski is a stout, strong guy on that line, if he's versatile, and when I mean versatile, I mean playing multiple positions whenever he's needed to, if he can master that and a few other guys around him can help teach him how to play these different spots, look, they're all pros. If you're going to lean on one another, do it. Mean it. Be strong about that. Because if you are, that's going to be the biggest difference for this team is let's lean on one another because this is going to be the strongest bond that we have on this team is making sure we hold each other accountable. So I'm curious to see what they can do on the field when it comes to that. How can they pick up on different teams' scheme? How can they help defend Tannehill? If you can do that this year and you give the ball to Derek and you make some big open holes and he gets past those guys, look, we all know what he did to Josh Norman, and that was, man. But I want to see more of those moments this year when he is given the opportunity. And I think we know where the questions lie. Now it's going to be how much can you lean on one another to make a biggest difference with this schedule? Because it's not a first-place schedule.
Yes.
It was so hard for them this year. I'd like to see what they can do with the same mentality personally.
So there's been some news coming out of a different organization in the AFC that I think the Titans should be looking into.
Mm-hmm.
And because of this news, I feel like I have changed my perspective on a certain topic that is going to be widely unpopular
do tell.
In this town. We are going to get into that next. You're listening to Michelle and Junie here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Free agency comes, he signs with the Raiders, and it's not till after he signs that he has a surgery in March. And whenever you have surgery, there's always a little bit of an unknown, how you're going to react to it, what the recovery process is going to be. So I think there's concern because right now, if you're the Raiders, you've signed Jimmy Garoppolo to be your quarterback right now. You're not signing this guy for this long-term built-out future. You're signing him because you want him to make an impact right away in your organization. They signed Hoyer to come in, and what we talked about Rodgers to be a coach on the field and go out there and play. They signed Hoyer to come over here and be a coach in the locker room, on the field out there as the backup quarterback, not to come in here and start for Jimmy Garoppolo. So I think for the Raiders, yes, there's concern because we watched Jimmy last year. He's standing on the sideline after he comes in, after it was a Trey Lance experience, and he comes in and he balls. And this was the image we saw of Jimmy as the 49ers are going on their run with Brock Purdy and they're winning in the playoffs. He's on the sideline, so you have to be very concerned. The start of training camp, his big impact, we saw the comments Devontae Adams had about Derek Carr not being there and getting a new quarterback. You want that relationship to grow and for him to be out there and to be executing. So I think there is a certain level of concern just because what is this injury and what is it going to be?
That was Jason McCourty on Good Morning Football talking about the news that has come out about Jimmy Garoppolo and the Las Vegas Raiders, about his injury that he suffered last season that could potentially hold him out because he got surgery right after he signed the contract with the Raiders. And so Mike Florio with Pro Football Talk writes this. Remember when Jimmy Garoppolo's contract took some time to get resolved and they sent the reporters who gathered for the press conference home? The story was, there's nothing to see here. As often is the case, the truth is that there was. But of course, anyone who ever points that out, that dynamic gets labeled as a conspiracy theorist. So Jimmy G getting surgery on his foot. Apparently, the Raiders have cause for concern and have put clauses in his contract saying if he is unable to perform, that the contract potentially has a way to get terminated and him not get paid by the Raiders. So it's a little bit up in the air about Jimmy G and how the Raiders are going to kind of get through this if he's unable to. Now, Jimmy G has obviously come out and said that he's going to be fine, this, that, and the other. But I look at a guy like Jimmy G who was injured in 2018, injured for majority of 2020, injured in 2021, and then gets injured again in 2022. It's every single year. And the only year that he didn't suffer an injury was 2019, and they wound up going to the Super Bowl. So with all this surrounding Jimmy G, the question about Ryan Tannehill has emerged for me that, you know, a lot of speculation that the Titans were shopping around with teams and seeing if anybody was interested in taking on Ryan Tannehill. Well, here's a team that could potentially be looking for a veteran quarterback. And with all of this news coming out and me thinking about Tannehill and the potential trading for him, it makes me think of this. A lot of people in town are higher on the Titans than I am. A couple years ago when the Titans were the number one seed, every single year I go through and do the schedule simulator, and I go through and basically try and project who I believe is going to be the number one seed, you know, who's going to finish where in the standings. And I had the Titans being the number one seed that year in the preseason in 2021. This year I just don't see where they're going to be that good. And what I feel like the Titans should get on top of instead of trying to do one last crack with Tannehill and Henry after they've already both seen their heyday is to try and get Will Levis in the game sooner rather than later.
Hmm.
So, Keezer, your thoughts, because I have now come to the consensus that I am on board with the Titans moving to Will Levis, whether it's moving off Tannehill in the offseason and saving that money and maybe using it to go get a guy like DeAndre Hopkins and bolstering this roster a little bit more, or Tannehill still being on the team and trying to move to Levis probably likely around the bye. I am now on board that Levis should play as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that is the best thing that can happen for this team. He's a second-round pick. There's no fifth-year option. And other teams in your division are going to start playing their rookie quarterbacks sooner rather than later. So you can either be behind the pack or you can be with the pack to try and see which one of these guys breaks out first. Your thoughts.
So I do think this is a very – I think this is a good little conversation to have, solely based on the fact that the future at quarterback – is significantly still open for the Tennessee Titans. And the reason it's open is because we need a solid future. And so I think this is completely warranted. I want to point this out because I believe it's the same article on Pro Football Talk, which is where you just read that top from what was said about Jimmy G. So I went down a little further and wanted some more context behind this. And I think this will be important. So I'm going to run through this as quickly as I can. But so Jimmy G had I think it was $11 million signing bonus. It was 11.25.
Yes.
Originally, that's obviously what he would get for signing with them. But now the Raiders removed it because it's all around his foot injury. So they're going to that's going to be his base salary for this season. So then you take a look at what they've got in his contract. So the contract preserves the team's ability to terminate the agreement with no further obligation. So this would be null and void when this happens for any reason related to the waiver and release attached as I think it's addendum G. I'm sure I'm butchering that. But anyway, the waiver becomes null and void if at any time during this season that he passes a physical exam, is active for at least one game, and does not suffer re-injury to his left foot in the described manner. So, look, some of these things are really easy because he's just going to – you would assume, okay, I'm going to be ready, or if I'm not ready at the start, I'm at least going to play. So for the Raiders' sake, they have the best situation because they're going to be the closest to him, and that's fine. Now, the part where I like what you're saying is, let's say they're not completely sold on him being as healthy as they would like him to be. That's where it becomes a little dicey because it's like, okay, who do we want to go get that can help us out in the meantime? So Tannehill's a good option because we've got three quarterbacks. Sure enough, one of them's going to step up, right? You would think. And like you and I have talked previously, who does Treylon Burks like the ball from right now? Malik Willis.
Yep.
So it's very intriguing. It's very open here in Tennessee. So I like it. But at the same point in time, if it doesn't go the way the Raiders want, that's the biggest thing. I think they'll be fine. I guess
for me, Nick, it's not necessarily about the Raiders.
Okay.
It's about me reading this headline about Jimmy G potentially not being able to play.
Sure.
And again, that might not be the most likely possibility.
Nah.
But it is a possibility.
Yes.
And when I hear that, the first thing that comes to my mind is, well, I wonder if they take Tannehill.
Yeah.
Because I'm seriously of the notion that I just feel like starting Tannehill this entire season and not getting Will Levis in the mix, I feel like is a bad move by the Titans.
I think it would be too.
Because when you trade up and go get this guy, and it's in the second round, you don't have that fifth-year option. And the fifth-year option is really just for quarterbacks, you know? Like, not many people care. I mean, maybe sometimes in a situation with a running back, you get that extra year. You don't have to worry about re-signing because nobody wants to re-sign a young running back. I mean, even Saquon Barkley's going through that right now with as talented as he is. But when it comes to Will Levis not having that fifth-year option, and especially when you have Trevor Lawrence elevating the way that he is, and the other two teams in your division have quarterbacks that will have that fifth-year option, why do you want to be behind every single team in your division by a couple years?
Yeah.
And for me, I just think Will Levis more or less is pro-ready, and I think that the more he plays and the more he's in this system, especially with Derrick Henry still playing at a high level, that's only going to help him more.
It certainly will. That's what you want. And I mean, to play devil's advocate, you have to think, okay, is he actually – well, he's going to play like a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, he's going to make mistakes.
But I mean, you have a very good point when it comes to – where they need to be in the next few seasons.
But would you rather him start making rookie mistakes now this year
or yes,
next year?
That's the biggest thing.
Because if he can work through those kinks this year, show you a little bit of promise, go through another offseason and still have three more years to show this team what he has?
Right.
Like, isn't that better than him having like rookie mistakes next year? I just don't think it does anything for Will Levis.
So you would rather have room for error now. And I think, yeah, I don't disagree.
Expectations are low for this team this year.
Yes.
Nobody in the national media, the only people that are picking the Titans to do anything this year are here in this market.
Yep.
So when the media hype is at its lowest, Why not put the guy in there, let him make some mistakes, which every rookie does.
Oh, yes.
Not every rookie is Patrick Mahomes where he sits a year and then he comes out and plays like an MVP.
Mm-hmm.
That just doesn't happen. That's an anomaly. I just think Will Levis, he's played in the pro system. He has a lot of great traits to be able to come in and translate to the game now. For me, I just don't understand why we're going to waste another year of mediocrity from Tannehill and wind up not making the playoffs and not doing anything for this team for the future.
So let me ask you, too, if you move through with all of this and you, let's say you trade Tannehill really quick. If you trade Tannehill to the Raiders, would you mind absorbing Jimmy G in some way?
No.
Okay,
no,
so you would rather it be a, hey, let's get this package, whether it's draft picks or players, and then
Need draft picks.
And then them cutting him, or like, we don't care about the Raiders at that point. We would just move off of Tannehill.
No. Here. I'm gonna pose this question because I think this conversation is going somewhere. I want to pose this question. 615-737-1025. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you could move off Ryan Tannehill's contract, get Will Levis in the mix this season, and get DeAndre Hopkins, would you be willing to do it? We're going to discuss that next. You're listening to Michelle and Junie here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Central Barbecue in Hillsboro Village. Central Barbecue is a slow-cooked, Memphis-style barbecue restaurant where their motto is smoke is our sauce. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals for half off a $30 gift card to Central Barbecue today. Nick, I made a groundbreaking statement that I don't think a lot of Titans fans are going to agree with. I have just come to the consensus because of the whole Jimmy G might not play, because the first thing that came to mind for me was, would the Raiders be interested in Ryan Tannehill? I think it would be in the best interest for the future of this franchise to get Will Levis into the mix as soon as possible. And I listed out a bunch of reasons for that, and we have got a couple text on the text line. An unnamed texter says, I like it. Let Henry help Levis adjust to the NFL while we get him. D-Hop and Burks on the outside doesn't sound bad. Junie for GM. Oh, I appreciate that, unknown texter.
I love how he spelled your name. J-E-U-N-Y.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Hey, Junie!
I mean, you can read my name on Twitter or on the stream.
Now, look, you may have autocorrect going for this guy,
possibly,
too.
Possibly. You know, a bad autocorrect for my name is Junkie. I had to do that for years. Because every time I
just
type
like,
my name, it turned into
Jason
Junkie.
Junk for the Nashville Sounds or what?
Jung,
is that right?
Yeah, Jung.
Another unnamed texter says Hopkins wouldn't come to Tennessee if Levis was the starting.
You don't know that.
You don't know that.
But you would think just off the top of your head, like, do I really want to go to a rookie?
It would have to be Derrick Henry and Mike Vrabel and the connection that he has with both of them to really try to come and lure him in. And also, if you move off Tannehill, you're going to be able to give him more money than anybody. And on top of that, you also offer him the option of saying, hey, we need wide receiver help more than anybody in the league.
Right.
I don't know one other team that's going to feature you as a passer than we will
so
in this offense.
If that's the case too, Junie, if the Titans moved off of Tannehill, that's $27 million extra dollars.
Yes,
so,
yes. As a June 1st cut, yes, if they were to cut him. But I think if they trade him, they might – I think they would save more money than that. I think they would save all $38 million on this contract that he's owed.
And, you know, I just want to chime in here real quick, Junie. You know, that was the first thing that kind of hopped into my mind is that, you know, maybe around, you know, when they go to England maybe afterwards or teams that are in need by that time of the season, they're going for a Super Bowl run.
Somebody could always use a quarterback. There's a guy that gets injured early in the season in training camp.
Yeah.
All of these things. So we want to hear your options. We posed the question before we came into the break that if moving off Ryan Tannehill in one way or another could get you DeAndre Hopkins and start Will Levis, would you do it? 615-737-1025. Hit up our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and we are going to go to the phone line. We have Jason in East Nashville. He wants to weigh in on the quarterbacks. Jason hung up. Okay, Jason, never mind. Listen, Jason, you want to call back? We were going to get to you, but he obviously couldn't wait.
Try us just one more time, Jason.
Just 2 seconds. But either way, like I said, I posed the question because I think it's important for the Titans to get on the Will Levis train sooner rather than later. You know, the Colts have come out and said, you know, Anthony Richardson already is starting to split first-team reps in the Colts camp already. So you're seeing them potentially playing him here in his rookie year when a lot of people didn't think that was going to happen. I think it's an easy thing for the Houston Texans to start C.J. Stroud. We've already seen enough of Davis Mills. And you just don't want to get behind, especially when these teams have that fifth-year option. And again, Tannehill is starting to get old. He's going to be 35 this season.
Yep.
We've just seen it.
Yeah, we have.
And we need to see the rookie quarterback get in there and see what he has.
So for reference, too, for our listeners, the post-June 1 dead cap for Ryan Tannehill is $9.6 million. So, but his dead cap in general, according to SpotTrack, is $18.8 million. So, we'll see what they do. Now, personally, for me, I the more and more I'm thinking about what you've thrown out there, I think it's a very, very intriguing option. I just wonder, where else could he potentially be a fit if anywhere came up? So
I think it would have to be, like, you know, Frazier was saying, that somebody gets hurt, whether it's like early on in the season or in training camp. But we got Ray and Dixon on the line who would like to weigh in. Ray, go ahead. Ray, do we got you?
Well, got to turn on the phone, so let's see.
Do we not have Ray?
What would we be? 9-8, 8-9.
Ray. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. We did not hear any of that. Can you start from the beginning? It's a complication.
Sorry about that, guys.
No, you're good. Yeah,
thank you, Ray.
That. Yeah, I was commenting on what you said, Junie. Why go through another year of mediocrity with Ryan Tannehill? I agree 100%. You know, you'd win 9 games, 8 games. You'd miss the playoffs. You'd end up with a 14th, you know, pick in the draft. Why not, if you're going to miss the playoffs, why not miss it huge? Hmm. It'll be a painful year. You'd go, you know, 4-13. You'd have the third pick. People would be killing themselves to get that pick from you. You might be able to pick up, you know, number 11 pick, and, you know, get a great wide receiver. But what would you feel better about, barely missing the playoffs or missing it huge, getting a great draft pick, and having Will Levis with a year's experience? I think that's a better scenario.
Ray, I mean, I completely agree with you. I just, the ceiling that I see for this Titans team.
Thanks for the call, Ray.
Is 9 wins. Yeah, it's nine wins for me. And again, so many other people that cover this team in this market think that they're going to be so much better because of the schedule. I don't think people realize, you know, that there are certain games that people are chalking up as easy wins, like Carolina and Atlanta, that have pretty talented rosters, and if things come together for them, those might not be as easy wins.
Nope.
This schedule, again, there's always teams in the beginning of the year that everybody thinks are going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wind up not. And vice versa. There are teams that everyone thinks that are going to be really good that are not going to be. We just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And with the way this Titans team is constructed, the offensive line is an unknown. Everybody's calling for them to go and get a receiver. And with Ryan Tannehill kind of showing who he is, why not go to the rookie as soon as possible?
It's an interesting thought. Now, that's just, now, before we took Ray's call, the reason I posed that to you was I would like to know if there were any other ideas, whether it's just different writers around the league or if it's just something popular among fans. Now, a lot of fans probably aren't as interested in a Ryan Tannehill unless you are a Titans fan. But look, when you think about where he could go, Junie, That's something I have to ask myself, too, because if there's interest in a team, there's likely interest from other fans from those teams, and so that's something I have to go back to. And I think Ray makes a great point. You need the stink to get through the bumps and bruises as a young team. And I threw out there earlier that the Titans are a young organization. So I'd like them to have their mistakes now. It'd be a lot similar to when the Titans drafted Taylor Lewan. And so I would like to see them reset themselves, have the expectation for, okay, let's have some growing pains here. Let's just go through this. Let's make sure our rookies can get the experience. All of us here who are rookies at some point or another, we had to go through things too. So it's just as important for us to go through things and figure things out with the experience, because that makes the biggest difference.
We got Ben on the text line. He says, we don't need to make splashy moves. Plus, coming from Rand's perspective, we are rebuilding, and that's job security. If we go for it now, his hot seat heats up. I think he said heads up, but I think he meant heats up a lot quicker. So, right. No, and I definitely agree with that. It's just, where is this season going? And again, we did pose the question on, if you move off Tannehill and get D-Hop, would it be worth it to make that move? Mm-hmm. And for me personally, I would like that. I don't think that would be the best option, kind of with what Ben is saying. But for sure, it has to be in the question mark of getting this rookie quarterback in here. Will Levis at Kentucky played in a pro style, a run-heavy system. I just think with Derrick Henry, he's going to be turning 29 years old in the middle of this season. And why not get the rookie in with one of the best players your franchise has ever seen, and the rookie quarterback's best friend is a running game.
Right.
And I just don't understand, like, why there's so many people that are so steadfast in faith on having Ryan Tannehill play this entire season and sitting Will Levis thinking that he's going to come in year two and be like Patrick Mahomes. He's not going to be like Patrick Mahomes if he has no Derrick Henry and no wide receivers to throw to other than Treylon Burks.
And the biggest thing too, Junie, is you're thinking of yourself long-term product too. So you want to go into Carthons thinking it's okay, I want to set myself up for the success down the line. This is his first year. He needs to build a foundation. So I'm very happy with what the approach it seems to be. Let's see what they do, though.
Coming up next, I'm going to bring up another point, and it does not have to do with the quarterback situation, but it will kind of lead into this argument as to why I think the Titans should play Will Levis sooner rather than later. We will get into that next. You are listening to Michelle and Junie here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.